Let's get into the footy issue. It's been dominated by the COVID chaos situation, which we understand. The South Australian situation yesterday was, it's not farcical because everyone's doing the best they possibly can, but they're going to the airport, they're going to play in Adelaide, in Melbourne, and they come back, they're going to have a showdown in Adelaide. Oh, no, you've got to go back to Melbourne. So they're coming to Melbourne. Port Adelaide will play. We'll just talk to Travis Boak shortly. He's going to play his 300th game in front of no crowd in Melbourne.
That's right.
Just the world we live in.
That's right. And we'll get back to that because I want to start here. I know this has been a conversation that has probably been going on for a week now, but it is still about, and there are some interesting parts to this that have been surfacing in the last couple of days, and that's about the handover of the coaching position between Al Clarkson and Sam Mitchell. Now, on Classified on Monday night, Caroline Wilson went with the fact that there was a mediation required after the Fremantle game. And within that conversation that took place, Sam Mitchell then asked whether or not he could be the coach. Words to that effect. Anyway, it's been reported that Sam Mitchell made it clear when they had that mediation meeting, this is in Sam McClure's column in The Age today, that he would prefer to be senior coach next year, a year earlier than planned. The planned handover in 2023. Right. Now, to that point, Jeff Kennett came out yesterday, and this is what he had to say about Caro saying, talking about this mediation, the meeting that took place.
That is absolutely incorrect. I've never said that. I've consistently said I want Alistair there. Very, very natural meeting. Not a mediation meeting. A meeting, as I said, that's been planned to work out what their responsibilities are going to be over the next, 18 months.
Okay, so whether or not that meeting, the meeting took place, whether or not it was a mediation meeting, whatever it might be, your point, though, that you made on 360 last night is a really interesting one about Sam Mitchell himself.
Yes. So I don't chase these stories, right? But
no.
I knew I was doing 360, so I made some calls yesterday to people that, you know, are in the know and should know. So they dispute this mediation? No, the meeting took place.
Yep.
Absolutely it did. You can call it a mediation. You can call it what you want. If you've got your footy manager and the bloke who's in charge of your leading teams meeting with your coaching group, then that would be a footy meeting for mine. You can call it a mediation. I don't really care. You can do what you want. But this is the interesting thing for me, and I want to say off the top, I don't know this to be true about Sam Mitchell. I said this last night. I don't know that Sam has said, I want Clarkson gone and I want to be the coach on my own, right? What's been reported.
No, you don't know that, but that has been reported as fact.
In fact, this is where the statement has been made that, and this is unequivocal. This is the statement that was unequivocally made by Caroline Wilson, that Sam Mitchell made it clear he wanted to be coach and preferred Clarkson not be there.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Let's use that as a statement of fact.
If that's the statement of fact, then my opinion is that Sam Mitchell is not the man to coach Hawthorn or your football club, because you go back a week, they sit down, however they arrive at their decision. I know Alistair Clarkson has accepted this decision, right? I know it. So he's, begrudgingly or not, I know that he has. So he's committed now.
Hang on. So you know that is a fact, as fact, that he has accepted this decision?
Yes, he's accepted.
As fact?
Yeah. Okay. I'll coach next year. Now, we know things can change between now and next week or whatever, but that's where it's at, right? So, yeah, okay. So Sam Mitchell's going to coach in a year and a half. Yep, okay, I sign off on that. I agree to that. Sam Mitchell sitting there going, I agree to that. Yep, the greatest coach of the modern era is sitting there. I know it's a huge commitment Hawthorn are making. To me, what an honour. There's Clark. I know how hard it is for them to sever ties with Clark at the end of the year, but I agree to accept that. And if you're telling me a week later he's now banging the table saying, I want him out, I want to coach next year on my own, having sat there and agreed a week earlier, I just can't have that, Tim. I can't have that. That's not, is that the man you want coaching? Yeah, I agree to this. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This is what I'm going to do. I agree to the coaching handover. Yep. A week later, sitting there going, now get him out. Now get the icon out. I want to coach on my own. You reckon that's what happened?
Do you think this was hastily convened in some way?
I don't know that.
And all those discussions that needed to take place, the minute detail of all this was never discussed at that time correctly and openly the way that it should have been?
I don't profess to know that. I'm not into trying to unravel all this stuff. I'm interested to hear this situation, and that is why I want to hear from Sam Mitchell. This is the easiest way in the world to put this to bed. Sam Mitchell comes out and says, let me be very clear about this again. I am privileged that Hawthorn have made this extremely tough decision to move on this four-time premiership coach. So their faith in me is just extraordinary. I've got 18 months to try and extract everything I know out of Alistair Clarkson. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to continue to become a better coach of my own group by coaching Box Hill. And I am going to lap up every single minute. And to the back half of next year, I would hope that, you know, Clarko and I are in the transitional phase. But for now, I am 100% committed to this handover, which I agreed to a week ago.
Okay. In line with that then, and you said that you made some calls before you went on 360 last night. Did you hear words to that effect from anybody that you spoke to, that that's exactly what Sam Mitchell would like?
Yes, but I'm, you know, when you talk to people, so my, the people I spoke to yesterday said, no, Clarkson and Mitchell are good. Right? They're good. They butt heads, but that's what good, strong-minded people do.
Mm.
So I add that to the fact that Sam Mitchell himself has agreed, fronted the press conference and agreed to this transitional handover in 18 months. Then, so I go, well, now you're trying to explain to me that a week later he's banging the table saying, I want to coach on my own, get him out. Does that make any sense?
No, that makes sense. The thing for me, though, is that why are we talking about this rocky relationship if everything's fine? Why is it that there are people that are prepared? In this article written by Sam McClure in the Age Today, sources familiar, people on the inside, people that I spoke to, others in the industry, like they're not quoting anyone directly.
No.
But they are doing their work as journalists and they're speaking to people, right, who they believe are informed sources with inside the Hawthorn Football Club. So why is it that we're even talking about this if it's a real smooth handover transition between the
two?
Well,
it depends who. I'm not questioning or querying any of those reports. It depends who they're talking to. They might be talking to people who they think are in the know, or maybe they are in the know, in which case that's a fractured footy club and they're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Well, I think that's the case. I think this decision has caused some sort of a disruption at the football club. And I think that's the only way to read it from the outside. Now, Jeff will come out, and I think he sent a message out or a letter out or an email out to all the members last night explaining the situation from their perspective. And that's what you'd do in his circumstance. You would try and create this narrative that everything's okay. Yes, they've had some robust discussions, that type of thing, but this is the way that it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other part to all that is, now, you know, Sam McClure has reported this too, that Al Clarkson's unlikely to be appointed at Collingwood after multiple sources confirmed a falling out between him and his former football boss, Graham Wright, who's now at the Pies. Now, I know you've got a strong view on this. What is it?
Do you think that Graham Wright's falling out or so-called falling out or disagreement with Alistair Clarkson would prevent the Collingwood Footy Club from appointing the best coach in the last 50 years?
So would you say then, and I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I've been told that Graham Wright has been told to get over it and get over it quick,
okay, so
if
you,
in fact it was an issue.
Okay, so if it was an issue, he's been told it can't be an issue. If we want Al Clarkson to be the coach and he's the best candidate out there and we can convince him to be the coach of Collingwood next year,
mm-hmm,
and you can't work with him, unfortunately we want him, you might have to find another job. Is that similar to how the conversation might have gone down?
No suggestion that he's been told to get another job.
No, but he has to find a way to work with Al Clarkson.
Of course. Otherwise, Graham Wright becomes a demigod at Collingwood. He's not coaching. He's not even going to coach the club. So I don't think that to be the case, but I don't think he'll be coaching Collingwood, by the way.
When do you think we might hear from some Hawthorn players?
Well, someone said we could have called in. Yes, we have. We've put a call in to both, to Hawthorn to ask for both Clarko and Sam Mitchell. The suggestion to us is that it won't happen today or tomorrow, but maybe a chance later. Anyway. Everyone will talk to everyone. Everyone's got a different axe to grind. And I'm looking at it from the footy side. Maybe those who are reporting are looking at it from the political whole club. And as I've said to you many times, there are board members and there are board members. There is about two board members at every club that run a club and are in charge of decision making.
Yeah.
And the rest are on the periphery doing what they need to do and love to have their voice heard.
No, I'm not calling Jeff a liar.
Tim's just doing his
I'm just
his
playing
question,
the devil's advocate here, and football clubs have to do what they do. But
I don't think it's
this,
fair on Sam Mitchell.
No.
And this is why I want to hear from Sam. I don't think it's fair on Sam to have his loyalty and commitment to a handover situation that was put on the record only a week ago to have him now question him and say, well, don't worry about that. That's all crap. What I want to do is get rid of him so I can coach on my own, despite the fact that a week ago I sat there and said how excited I was about the transition.
And some people out there think that because Al Clarkson has said that he'll stay on and coach at Hawthorn, that he can't retract that statement in any way. I think he can. I think circumstances change.
They do, yep.
And
if
for some reason he feels that there's great concern inside his football club and that it's not going to be a smooth transition and it's going to be a difficult circumstance to work around, then he gets a great offer from somewhere else and goes and coaches, or he has a year off maybe. I don't know what the solution will be from his perspective, but he's going to be a man. I still think he's going to be in demand. Like if you're Collingwood's shoes right now, he should be the number one and the number two and the number three priority.
I agree with all that. I wouldn't be ruling out a year away from footy at some stage for him to regather himself and refresh and then come back and maybe have 15 options. Who knows, Tim? But as it sits right now, that's who the people I would like to listen to and hear from most. Sam Mitchell, number one.
Yeah.
He puts it to bed in a flash, in a heartbeat.
Well, Clarko too, but he's going to get asked the same questions again this week.
But Clarko will front up his press conference.
They're going to ask him the same
questions.
Some
brave journalist is going to say...
Well, they don't even have to be brave because everybody wants to ask the same question again and again.
No, they're going to have to be brave, Tim.
No, they'll ask the same questions again, as last week.
Yeah, and they've got to be brave to push, and he'll stare them down. But I want to hear from Sam. That's the only man. And again, as I said, I don't believe that to be true, what's been reported, but if it is, then let's go. Let's talk to Sam and find out.
Okay, does Rowan Marshall, does he need to be pulled into line by the St Kilda people or not?
Not from the sounds of it, no. So he went to the...
He went to the rugby.
Yeah.
And then he went to a bar after that.
Yes. So...
On a Tuesday night.
No, that's right. He was waiting for a taxi or whatever. And so anyway, you worried about him having a beer?
Well, it's a Tuesday night, midweek, playing footy.
Yeah. I don't ever worry about it, but you might. But anyway, I thought you meant in terms of his reporting of where he'd been.
I'm talking about this.
Talking about having a beer.
Yeah.
Well, have we got
in these COVID times?
Simon Lethlean addressed this. I think have we got the grab there. Let's have a listen.
Ryan became aware of, in the updating of exposure sites that goes on every 24 hours, that he'd been at a tier one exposure site last week, which only got listed on Sunday night. So he made us aware of that. We've alerted the AFL and gone through all the usual protocols and everything else now with the authorities. So he now needs to isolate for 14 days, which means he'll be unavailable for this weekend's game against West Coast. But based on those timings, he'll be available for our round 20 game, wherever that might be.
He's a massive, massive loss to the team. Forget about all the other stuff associated with this. We all know that St Kilda perform a lot better when he and Paddy Ryder are in the ruck division in tandem, don't we?
And they're up against the big influential Nick Nat. So, it's going to be a bit of a loss and a hole that they can't really fill. Paul's joined us from Ringwood. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, folks. Just want to make a point. Collingwood are a fractured club and their gameplay is reflected. Hawthorn almost knocked off the top team last week, so I sort of don't really buy into that.
You don't buy into... Sorry, I missed that first bit, Paul. You're not buying into what?
I don't buy into Hawthorn being a fractured club.
Right.
And certainly, Collingwood reflects a fractured club. Mm. Their performance this year has been average and internally they've been exploding.
I mean, this is what happens at this time when there's big change afoot. And you got coaches changes at both of those clubs, either immediately or down the track, and it causes some uncertainty. There's another way to spin it.
I can spin it another way. Yeah,
by the way.
I think there's a fracturing over this particular decision and what they're doing right now. And there has to be. Otherwise, you wouldn't have people working from inside a football club
fracturing?
Trying to damage their football
who
club.
Who do you think's fracturing?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But when you got, in the space of a week, you got reports about board members unhappy. Well, whoever they are, but they're board members, but they're part of the football
club.
And then a week later, you've got other insiders leaking what would have been...
Probably the same board members.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is, but the point still remains that there are people that are working inside a football club against their football club, effect.
And you spin the other way. You go, well, on the basis of this handover where people said it wouldn't work, they then come out and put Melbourne to the sword in one of the better coaching performances.
Has he taken back control of the defensive mechanisms of the team, Clarko? Because that's been reported.
Wouldn't be surprised if he's just got a bit more hands-on and just tightened things up a bit. They've beaten the Giants, they've beaten Sydney, they've drawn with Melbourne in the last 6 weeks.
Right.
What else is kicking
around?
We
need to take a break, actually.
Damn straight we do.
I've just looked at the clock.
19
Since you
seven.
And Jared worked together yesterday and you gave the reins over to Jared, you sort of just become a little bit looser this morning with the reins.
There was a rain delay in the cricket. We're back on 4 for 127 back after this.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Well, they'll run out of guests if they don't want to put anyone on that's on our show, won't they? Welcome back. Trevor Spoke's going to join us. Matthew Johns is going to join us. Sammy Edmund's going to join us. You get a bit precious, aren't they? Or one bloke in particular. The 7-seat Kia Sorento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year. No names, Tim.
No names.
You don't know the cricket score? 440.
Yes. What's happened?
Alex Carey's 31 off 34. Ashton Turner's in. He's 8 off 9. And we are in the 30th over. So,
generally
double your score. That's what they say. If you got wickets in hand at the 30th over, which would have us at around 280, 290. I don't know if that's enough against this windy side who seem to have got their act together in the short form.
There was a rain delay, though, yes.
Rain delay, yeah.
Yep. Just a little shower over there?
A little drizzle. Just a little drizzling.
Hey, let's give some flowers to Nigel Carmody, too. He's gone full-time in the media. He used to be your manager, did he not?
He did.
We're going to give you all the flowers in the world, bro.
He did. But he's increasing his media profile. He does really good work on the racing.
He does.
Horse racing, racing.com. He's right. I didn't realise he was such a horseman.
And becoming more and more prominent in the commentary too. The footy, the VFL, then stepping up and doing a lot more AFL games this year as well.
Yeah, so he just started
coming along nicely. AFL, we're bringing along nicely.
AFLW into VFL and now just getting some prime. Is the prime time exposure on the back of... You only got Hamish who's doing the Olympics? The Duke.
Yeah, the Duke's doing some hosting from the studio.
Is that why Jason Bennett and Nigel Carmody are doing the more AFL?
Yeah, we're just managing their careers, Gary, just bringing them along.
I know that you have the power in that. I know you don't I know you don't like me to say that, but I know that.
I like you to say that, but it's actually doesn't bear any truth whatsoever. And Charlie Curnow wants to play in Brother Ed's 200th game. Right now he's played one scratch match. He's been training for 6 weeks.
That was my question without notice for you.
Does he need a little bit more game time, do you think, Charlie?
I would say yes, unquestionably. But they, I think, would say he's been essentially playing for a month.
Mm.
I think that's what – would they risk him? I don't know whether they'd – I wouldn't risk him.
They won't risk him. No, they won't risk him. So if they play him
– But then he has to find a game in the VFL.
That's right. But when you say will they risk him, no, they won't. So if he's either ready to play or he's not ready to play.
Okay. So you think he's still a chance then?
Well, that would be their determination.
Your point's a very good one. Of course they wouldn't risk him. Would you play him?
If he's ready, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. If you've satisfied that he's done all that he needs to do, his body's sound again, they need somebody like him playing in that team. And what a shot of excitement it might provide for that group too.
Paddy Cripps, the other one, pushing pretty hard. I think they all want to play for Ed, who's a very popular part of that Carlton lineup.
He could be the most popular player in that team, I would think.
Mm. Oh, that'll be interesting. Are Dusty still in hospital? Lacerated kidney, no form of body contact for 3 months. This is what Jack Riebold told us last night.
Hopefully we can get him out of hospital soon, let him do some rest and recovery up there in the Sunshine State. And then we'll be looking forward to getting him back around the club and around his mates because no doubt he'd be itching to get back into it in some capacity. Even just watching on the weekend, he was coaching in that last quarter, lacerated kidney, which sort of sums him up really. He's tough as nails, Mars, and yeah, we are sorely going to miss him.
Does that mean he's out of Las Vegas? His end of season trip?
I would think so, yeah.
He wouldn't be going anyway, given the travel restrictions. But let's hope he's okay. Lacerated kidney. That doesn't sound like an injury. Just watching him again, if you watch the vision, you get an idea of the pain of it. Like he couldn't stand up.
That's
he stood up and then he fell back down and then he stood up and back on his haunches.
Did that bring back a lot of buckled rib pain for you?
It's not in the buckled rib territory, but it's in this family. It's up there in the family. But did you see him on the boundary still cheering his team on?
Yes.
At the end of it?
Yeah, I don't think at that stage he didn't realise how serious the injury was. You know, when your rib buckled, mm-hmm. were you worried about other internal organs at that time?
Oh, I thought
because
I had.
The buckle would have impinged upon other parts of your body, would it not?
Fortunately, it buckled out.
Oh, it didn't buckle in.
No, had it buckled in, would have put dust.
So, had you had the inverted buckle grip, you would have been in serious trouble.
Yep, sure would have. Sure would have. Would have missed more than the two.
Did they put some magic spray on it at the time, or just give it a little rub with a bit of DP?
Carried off. Was that
you got carried off with a buckle
grip? Tim, it was internal issues at that stage that we were.
You said
about.
Nothing ruptured.
I didn't get carried off. I walked off. I walked off. I couldn't play. You can't play with a buckled, Tim. Jeez, I thought I'd educated you over the last 3 or 4 years.
Sammy Edmund's coming up, isn't he?
Sam Edmund is. Thank you very much. Let's get some news headlines. Sammy's going to be here to update us with the latest footy news. Gave you some homework. We had some homework yesterday. You were talking about Essendon and how they didn't want to get rid of Danaher. They didn't want to get rid of Saad. They didn't want to get rid of Fantasia. They did, and it worked for them. And that was forced upon them. Their hand was forced. We then posed the question, okay, is there any club sitting there, any player at a club sitting there where you don't need your hand forced, you just got to get aggressive on it?
That's right. And these guys can play. These guys can play. Like you look at, say, Joe Danaher, and you think, okay, you can't afford to lose a potential superstar forward like he, and they haven't been able to replace him. Like, nobody's playing like he can, but they've got kids that are coming through, obviously, and they've gone back to the draft and got some young talent. But there are players out there, when you're looking at your club, you're thinking, well, we can't afford, you know, like you always want to keep the talent. You always want to keep the talent. But maybe there's a guy out there that you can do a great deal with that is actually going to give you the ability to compete at a higher level 2 or 3 years down the track.
And it may be highly unpalatable for you right now,
always.
As it was with Joe or Adam Saad, but in the long run, it might work. I'll just give you an example and then you can send them through 0433981116. Steel, side bottom. Oh! Collingwood.
What was that?
That's the Collingwood reaction. Oh!
Yep.
Wonderful player.
Yep.
At that age where I still think he's got value for someone else and still can provide value for Collingwood.
Yeah, I think that's.
I love Steel, by the way. And yes. If he stays at Collingwood, then great, all good and well. But if you want to get aggressive and proactive, maybe that could be one.
That's right. Yesterday, the West Coast Eagles, McGovern, maybe. Or I think they've got some good young, tall, defensive type players that are going to build. And also maybe somebody like a Gaff as well. Somebody that you've got to have somebody. If you're going to get a deal out there that's going to help you reshape your football club, okay, you've got to put somebody out there that is going to attract the interest and a deal that's going to enable you to do that. Hey, just quickly too, before we go to another break, we're going to catch up with Sam Edmund. Australian basketball, great. There's all this discussion about Liz Cambage. We know that Basketball Australia conducting an investigation into what took place against Nigeria. This is what Michelle Timms had to say last night on the program Time On.
We've worked so hard, and players before me have worn the green and gold and worked so hard on a culture and a way that we want to be remembered in the community. And it was hugely disappointing seeing the behaviour of Liz. Quite frankly, I'd rather not win a medal than win this way. And she's great off the court with everybody and the time she gives people, especially back in the day. But there's always been issues there. When she was at Bulleen, we had to sit on the sidelines. The team were very unhappy with her selfish behaviour, and we cut her for a game.
That's Michelle Timms, who's, you would say an insider on the inside. We observe from the outside and go, I wonder how that's happened. Well, there you're getting a little bit of an insight. Don't forget the call of the year. Could win a 2021 Toyota Hilux Rugged X valued at over $75,000. Toyota certified pre-owned vehicle certainly is a great feeling. It's a big weekend. We know it's already, from a logistical point of view, it's been a nightmare. So we'd be really interested to speak to our next guest about how yesterday unfolded under normal circumstances anyway. But for him, it's even more significant given that Travis Boak's going to play game number 300. He was preparing for it in front of a crowd, I would have imagined, at Adelaide Oval. It would have been a huge crowd, and then he wasn't, and then he was, and now he wasn't. And he's arrived in Melbourne, I think, late last night on a hellish day for him. So this is probably the last thing he wants to do, but he's been good enough to join us. He's an honorary member of the program. Trav, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're going all right. How are you going? What time did you get to bed last night?
Yeah, probably about 1 o'clock, I reckon, last night. So we got into Melbourne just after 12 o'clock. So, yeah, she was a whirlwind kind of day, but we're here now and hopefully we can settle for a little bit.
All right. Tell us about the day, how it unfolded. One minute you're thinking you're going, then you're not going, then you're going again. You're thinking you're going to one part of Australia, then you end up in another part of Australia. Yeah. How confusing was the day?
It was very confusing. To say I was mentally drained would be an understatement. There was a lot of highs and lows yesterday. So, woke up this morning thinking everything was normal. I think we're in stage four at that stage, and then we went into lockdown, which was early in the morning. Everything was still pretty normal then, until we got the call saying that we could be going to Melbourne, so pack your bags just in case. And we had to pack our bags. I think we had about 4 hours notice before we were going to leave, and packed our bags, dropped them off at the club. And as we were sort of coming back, we got a text saying, drop everything, it's been cancelled, you're staying in Adelaide. And not long after that, probably an hour after that, we got told, no, we're back on and we're flying to Melbourne. So, there was a lot of ups and downs and a lot of emotions going through yesterday. But it was, it's been a hard time for everyone, and certainly everyone in SA yesterday going into lockdown is a real challenge. So we were certainly just part of that.
Some big suitcases I saw being packed there. How long are you expecting to be here?
Well, at this stage, we have no idea. So we got told just to pack and with a return date of no idea. So at this stage, it's open. So, yeah, that's why myself included packed a lot of stuff just in case. But, it's open at the moment. We don't have a hell of a lot of information. Obviously, Adelaide's in lockdown and being shut to, I think, most of Australia now. So, who knows what happens from here. But we sort of just go with it and wing it and do as best we can.
You're an undies man. How many pairs of smalls did you pack?
Well, I don't know why you're saying small like that. I've packed a fair few, actually. I actually pulled a few new ones out of the box. So there's a few getting around. I reckon I've got about 15 or 20 pairs in there.
So you can stay for 3 weeks then.
Yeah.
Hey, your mum travelled over to Adelaide. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, she's travelled to Adelaide with the expectation of obviously being there to celebrate this fantastic milestone on Friday night, and now you've sort of passed her in ships in the night and you're back here in Melbourne. Is that right? Is she stuck in Adelaide?
Yeah, she is. She'll drive back today before the borders shut. So she got over just in time before Victoria shut, before SA shut the border to Victoria, thinking beautiful. We'll come over and we'll be able to watch the game in Adelaide and watch the 300th. And so her, my auntie, my older sister got over and my younger sister's already over there. So I had all my family there ready to go. And yesterday was quite an emotional day for her, especially, not being able to be at the game and then find out we could be at the game and then not again. So, pretty emotional day. But, we were able to spend some time together. We had dinner last night and sort of quiet little celebration before the game, and it was good to spend a bit of time with them before the game.
But she'll be able to get back okay, there's no crowds. Is there any exemptions? Do you know whether they're able to get there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the club have tried everything to try and get her to the game, but at this stage, it's not looking likely she'll be able to come to the game. But yeah, she'll drive back today before any of the borders shut. And I think like anyone coming from an orange zone, she'll have a test and then isolate for a day until the results come back, and she'll be free to leave the house in lockdown still in Victoria. But hopefully she'll be able to watch the game with the rest of my family and still be able to enjoy it.
Talking to Travis Boker, who plays 300th game on Friday night against Collingwood, unbelievable achievement. Can I ask you, Travis, can you nail, say, three things that have stood out in your career so far? I know that might be tough, but maybe just three things that come to mind.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest one for me would certainly be getting drafted and playing my first game was certainly something that I'll sort of cherish forever. Even though it's a fair way, a fair while ago now, my debut game, I still have glimpses of memories of it. It was a pretty long way. I think it was a twilight 4 o'clock game and on a Sunday, so it was quite a long wait. But that was something that was really special. I had so much family and friends there, and it was a dream come true for me. And
I think other than that, the finals that I've played in hasn't been a hell of a lot, but there have been some really, really good memories. The one over in Perth we played in 2014, I think we're down by maybe 4 or 5 goals at half time, and to come back and win over there and go into a prelim final was huge, and I'll remember that pretty clearly, and even some of the losses, but the gains in the prelims were just unbelievable to be a part of. The one against Hawthorn, obviously losing by 3 points, and the Richmond one just recently. To play in those big games is why you play footy, and those memories will live on forever, even though not all of them have a great ending, but just the moments of it and the crowd and the atmosphere, and it's why you play footy, and it's so special, and we're so lucky to go out and do that in front of adoring fans. It's a real treat.
That's a great answer. A experienced Travis Boak, the Travis Boak of today, what would he tell the young, inexperienced Travis Boak?
Relax a lot more. Yeah. I think enjoy the ride. There's a lot you can't control. There's so many things that can happen, and just do the best you can. I think just being able to show up and try your best is enough. I think that's something that it took me a while to really grasp. I think, for so long, me personally, I tried to probably control the outcome a lot. I really wanted to achieve, success and play well and all that. But a lot of that's out of your control, and enjoy the process, enjoy the journey. We're all on a journey together, and we're on our own, footy journeys or journeys in life, and just enjoy the ride. And I think that's what I've been able to do, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years, is still work hard and still want to achieve things, but just let it be. And I think that's something that I've learnt and would love to, give to my younger self, and hopefully now can give to other younger guys who are, coming up in their careers that can be, some quality players and have great careers, that, just prepare as best you can and do as best you can, and the results will take care of themselves.
Beautifully said, Trav. Hey, there's a great humility about you that we love and admire and respect so much, and the footy world does as well. I know you've stayed, you want to hit the sack and get a bit more rest. You've stayed up for us, so we appreciate that, and we wish you all the best. We really do. We loved, over the last couple of years, catching up, sporadically throughout the year. From an Adelaide and South Australian point of view, we don't get access to you guys all that much, but you've always been great. So we're going to celebrate with you this weekend on Friday night. You're a credit to yourself and your family, and also the Port Adelaide Footy Club. So good on you and good luck.
Nah, thanks so much, guys. It's always great to come on. Appreciate the support.
Good luck. Good
Travis Boak here for Keys, is struggling with back pain. Now's the time for Keys. I didn't want to embarrass him, but I did, because we spoke to him last night as well. Yep. So I spent an hour or so when you get on Google and you can search someone, and then we talk about rabbit holes often. He was, we talk about Richmond's transformation, about embracing mindfulness, and Ben Crowe's impact, and that comment he just made then about relaxing. If you ever want to just take it a moment and look about how someone prepares for their sport, just spend 15 minutes. You can go to YouTube. He's with Red Bull, so he's an ambassador for Red Bull, so he has access to a couple of different training people. The way he trains and prepares for football and the amount of time he puts into it, I was just watching yesterday I spent an hour. And I'm talking underwater stuff with Mick Fanning,
as part of his training, the underwater stuff?
Yeah, this is how he prepares off-season stuff, right? Taking himself into different zones about body movement stuff, which I hadn't seen before. We're not at the level. We were never at the level of sophistication that they are now. But this stuff was really interesting. It was fascinating to watch. There's lots of stuff on YouTube, and you just put Travis Boak fitness and preparation, and it all come up. It's a really good watch. He's a ripper. He's an absolute ripper.
The greats do that, though, don't they?
Every night.
They are meticulous. The greats and these guys that we read about playing well into their 30s or even into their 40s, if you're Tom Brady, it is all about how much they invest in their preparation to play the game.
I called him a Tom Brady of footy as a throwaway line during a commentary. But then when I watched this, it was every night you've got a pool in the backyard that it's freezing.
Mm.
Every night he jumps in the pool before he goes to bed, spends 10 minutes in the freezing cold, gets out, jumps in a sauna. So he's got a sauna in his house, does that, and then gets 8 or 9 hours sleep every night in terms of his preparation.